I wish to present to you today the Lord Jesus Christ as the bread of life. He is set forth thus in the sixth chapter of John's Gospel. The feeding of the 5,000 is the miracle which is recorded for us in the first part of this Gospel. It is the fourth one recorded by John. Now the glory of the Lord Jesus is seen in this miracle. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, is vividly displayed. This is one of the signs which he did to show his glory, and it had the purpose that men might, seeing the sign, believe that he was the Christ, the Son of God, and believing, have life in his name. Now the Lord Jesus used this miraculous feeding of 5,000 as a foundation picture, shall we say, for the ministry which he gives in the rest of chapter 6. He speaks of bread as a symbol of himself, the one who has been given for the life of the world. Now, this is the truth that he wants you and me to see. He wants you and me to believe. He wants that we should, by believing, receive life that he has. Now, there is no other way, dear friend, that you may have eternal life. And this eternal life is something you desperately need. Because of sin, we all have a hunger in our soul that can be satisfied by nothing but the bread of life. And because of sin, we are dead toward God. We need life. And until you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as the bread that came down from heaven for you, you are dead, I repeat, in your sin. Oh, my prayer is today that you might realize your need and hunger. And if you do, I can guarantee that there is still opportunity to have this need met. Today, this very day, this very hour, you can turn to the Savior and receive of him. Now, notice this multitude that was there in the desert with him. 5,000 men besides women and children, and every single one of them was an object of the Savior's compassion. They were hungry, they were without food, and they were without the wherewithal to obtain it. What a picture this is of each one of us. This is the picture of the condition of all men because of sin. Now, even the disciples would have sent the multitude away, and we can't expect any remedy, any provision from the world to meet our need, nor any compassion from the world. But, dear friend, thank God the Lord Jesus is the one who has compassion, and he's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, and he sees you. You're not lost in the crowd. Notice what he does. He takes the 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. He multiplies them, and thereby he feeds all this hungry multitude. He feeds them, and not only does he feed them, but he satisfies them. And more than that, there are 12 baskets full of fragments taken up after everyone had eaten. Oh, what a wonderful picture this is of the abundance of the provision that God has for mankind. Now, the food was a gift. They couldn't buy it. He has given it to them. They didn't ask for it. They didn't deserve it. But his grace provided it for them. All that they had to do was to receive it, to eat and get the benefits. Now, this, dear friend, is a very clear picture of salvation, and the Lord intends that it should picture for us the salvation that he has procured and offers to you and me. I wish today to direct you to some of the words of Jesus in this chapter in the discourse that he gives following this miracle. These words are words that are for you. These are words that you can't be neutral about. You are going to make a decision today one way or the other. In the last part of the chapter, chapter 6, we read of those who had been following Jesus and seeing the miracles which he did and benefiting by these outward provisions such as the food and so forth. And yet, after he speaks these words of spirit and life, he puts the issues before them. We read that many of his disciples turned back and walked no more with Jesus. There's a test time came, and they failed the test. There are many today who are just simply followers in an outward way of Christianity. followers or disciples. A disciple is just simply a follower, a learner. Dear friend, are you just simply that? You know about Jesus? You've heard about him? You've seen things which he has done? And yet you have not personally appropriated him as your Savior. Is this you? Are you going to turn away today? You cannot be neutral, and you must make a decision. The Lord turns to the 12, and he addresses them with this question, "Wilt ye also go away?" Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Peter realized that the Lord alone had what he needed. Do you realize that? Have you come to him? And then he confessed his faith and the faith of the disciples. "We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of God, the living God." Now I would direct you to some of the words of the Son of this living God. Words that he utters as he speaks of the bread which came down from heaven. He himself is that bread. First of all, in verse 27, he sets himself forth as the one who was sealed of the Father. The Son of God who came into the world as the food which endureth to everlasting life. The Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. A seal is that which attests genuineness. And the Father from heaven again and again proclaimed him to be his only begotten Son, with whom he is well pleased. "This is my beloved Son," he said, "in whom I am well pleased." The seal of the Father has been placed upon the Son. He is God's Son, dear friend. Make no mistake about it. He was here. He came from glory. Verse 29 brings this out. He was sent by the Father. The one that was sealed and approved is the one who was sent on a mission. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. In verse 32, he speaks of himself as the true bread. "My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." The blessing that we need comes from heaven. It was the Father, in his eternal purpose, desired that you should be fed a food that would give you everlasting life. And he sent his Son the true bread. The true bread sets him out here as the one who is the truth. It intimates that there is false bread. How many false Christs, how many false religions there are. Oh, dear friend, be not deceived. Turn away from everything that is not of Christ. Search the Scriptures. See the one who is before you here, the Son of God, the Creator. He became man at Bethlehem. He grew up and by his miracles showed who he was. He was the one who was the true bread. And we read that the bread of God is he, bread from God, and he's God manifest in flesh, is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. He gives life, he offers life to all men. He's no respecter of persons. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. And he says, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life." The definite article he uses. The true bread, in contrast to the false. The, there is none other. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none of the name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You must partake of him. And he promises, "He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." You can ask no more. The miracle which he did proved the satisfaction of his provision, and thousands since then have appropriated him by faith and have received eternal life, and they hunger no more. God wants this to be your portion too. In verse 38, he says, "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Ah, this leads us to think of the purpose, the eternal purpose that the Father had, that the Son should come into the world to die for sinful men, the will of him that sent me. The will of the Father was that you might be saved, that you might have life. He says, "All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." He has salvation. You must come and receive it. And the Lord promises too. He says, "Of what the Father hath given me, I should lose nothing." Oh, if you are one who has come to him, you're the love gift of the Father to him, and you'll not be lost. No, dear friend, the life that Jesus gives is eternal life. You shall never perish. He says, "I should lose nothing. We'll raise it up at the last day." This is the promise that he gives. He has power to perform what he says. He is the Almighty God. He is the wonderful Savior. This is the bread of life. He says, "Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." There are people today that talk much about the Father of God, the Father and God, and yet ignore the Son as being God. Dear friend, if any man honors not the Son, and does not give him the place as the eternal Son of God, God the Son, he doesn't know the Father, and you haven't heard from the Father. The Father speaks of his eternal Son, co-equal with him, yet distinct persons. The Father sent the Son. Now he goes on to say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life, and I am that bread of life." Here you see, he uses the illustration of the literal bread. He reminds them of how he fed them in the desert. And this is the picture of the spiritual life that he gives in himself. And it is obtained by believing. Eating pictures for us what believing is. Eating personally appropriates. I can't eat for you and you can't eat for me. I must believe in my heart. You must believe in your heart. It is a personal acceptance, not just simply an assent to a fact. It's not just looking at what's on the table and saying, "I believe that." No, it's taking it and eating it. It's not just simply looking at Christ and saying, "Yes, he's the Son of God. Yes, he died on the cross." But it's personally receiving him as your own Savior. This is what believing is, believing on him. He says, "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die, that a man may believe and live." That's the thought. And then he goes on to say in verse 51, "I am the living bread." Not a dead bread. He died once, but he's not in the grave. He's not on the cross. He's in the glory. He's alive. There's life in him, dear friend. And he says, "I came down from heaven, that if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." Notice the promise. Notice the assurance. Eternal life is what you need. Eternal life is what he offers. And it's offered to you on the condition that you eat, that you receive. "The bread that I will give," he says, "is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." His flesh intimates his death, a death which he accomplished at Jerusalem, a death which was his own voluntary act to lay down his life for you, that you might have your sin removed and then in his life receive everlasting life. He died and he rose again. He goes on to say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye shall have eaten the flesh of the Son of Man, and have drunk his blood, ye have no life in you." I want you to mind what the Lord says there. He prefaced it by this word, "Verily, verily," the double affirmative. Surely, surely, I say unto you, you dear listening friend, except ye shall have eaten the flesh of the Son of Man, and have drunk his blood, there is no life in you. Be not deceived. He's not talking here about communion, the Lord's Supper, or taking the sacraments. He hadn't instituted that yet. He's talking here about an illustration of eating, illustrating for us the truth of what believing is. Have you ever received personally the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Has there been ever a moment in your life when you have in that way eaten of him, received him? I can't eat for you. You can't eat for me. You may be religious. You may be a church member. You may be a Sunday school teacher. You may even be a preacher. But unless you have personally had dealings with the Son of God and the Son of Man in this respect, that you have received of him by faith, claimed his death as your own, received the benefits of his life in receiving him, and thereby eaten of him, you've received life. There's no life in you. Be not deceived. There's no other way for you to have eternal life. It's not by sacraments, not by your own efforts. It's by receiving him, and this is illustrated for us by eating. Oh, dear friend, the Savior says, this is that bread which came down from heaven. He came for the purpose that you might have life. It's in him, in his death, in the shedding of his blood, in his resurrection. Now he is the living bread who waits to be received, appropriated personally by you. And he says, not as your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. So he's not talking here of a natural feeding, physical life. He's talking here of a spiritual appropriation of a spiritual blessing. And he that eateth of this bread, the bread of life, the Lord Jesus himself, who said, I am the bread of life, he says, shall live forever. I trust that these words today you will hear, that the Spirit of God will take them, make you realize your hunger, and that you will open your mouth, as it were, and receive them. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Be not like those who heard and turned away. Today is the day of opportunity for you. Now is the opportunity to say, I will believe. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Hear them again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. May that be sufficient for you. There's nothing more. And the blessed Savior himself has given us the assurance in uttering these words to you. Will you not then, like Peter, say, we believe and are sure thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? And John in his epistle says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. God grant then that you might today believe on him and live. Loving God, our Father, we thank thee for the bread of life. We thank thee that he is still available and that he still gives life to all who eat of him by faith. Make the message plain by the Spirit of God today through the Word, and that these words will really be spirit and life to every listener. We ask it in thy most worthy and precious name. Amen.